The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right. I'm here looking at this tour schedule from Texas. When was it? We went December 8th all the way to December 12th with Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer from POD, and Brian Head Welch from Korn. So tonight, I have these guys in studio. I think you guys are probably already showing up on the live streaming feed that we got going on. These are my brothers. These are my friends. And you know what? Hey, when I say that, you guys, I truly, you guys know, man. You guys are seriously my brothers, man. And I literally appreciate you guys so much. I've told you that many times. We'll be about to go speak somewhere, and I'm sitting in the out in the audience with you guys, and I'm just... And it's always, honestly, dude, it's always such a, I know we're brothers and friends and we've been through it all together, but I always just trip out on the fact that here we are 13 years later, we're sitting side by side somewhere in a church or a rehab or a bar or skate park or who knows where, a concert, and we're still doing the same thing and letting people know that God loves them, telling our stories and just leading people to the Lord. And just, I know you guys don't care the fact that you guys have this huge platform and you guys are rock stars and the whole thing, because you're really not that when you're actually with you guys, you're just normal. But there's this, I know you guys don't care, but it's a privilege to be, you know, alongside doing ministry with you guys, and the fact that you guys are using your platforms to bring people to know Christ. And that's exactly what happened here on this Texas trip. And I never take anything for granted. And it's just always so awesome to be out there. And you know what? The ministry stuff's cool, but the side conversations with us hanging out, that's the best. Like,
yeah, dude,
you know, at the condos and the cars and goofing around and talking about life, our kids, and just all that stuff, man. So anyway, dude, thanks for being on the show.
Hang out at people's houses, and then me and Ryan split and go to Denny's and meet Sonny. Like, all that. It's so fun. I love it.
That, hey.
Leave me all alone.
That was messed up. You know, before we get into this tour, let's talk about this highlight. So we do an event at a rehab, and we end up going to a house after. They're like, we're going to make swordfish on the water. So we show up. And what happened, Head?
There was no real swordfish anywhere. No, there was no appetizers, and we were starving.
No, there was swordfish, and it was amazing.
Those guys are amazing. I don't eat fish, and Ryan has gluten issues. So our plan was to go back or go get some food and come back and hang out. But then Denny's, it took forever.
Well, we didn't realize that it was like midnight or something like that. But I thought we were going to a restaurant. So we pulled up to this dude's house and it was beautiful. You know,
amazing.
It was a cool little spot. But you know, it's always uncomfortable to go to somebody's house and like hang out. And you just kind of feel like, you know, not in your element. But you guys ditched me. And so I sat there and I ate all their swordfish, so I guess there was something out of it.
Shout out to the guys for having us, though. It was awesome.
Oh, no, it was great. It was great.
So, another thing, my friend Daniel, who brought us out for Texas, he was, his daughter was playing the darts, and I was playing them, and I said, I go, $100 if you make it in the middle.
Yeah.
She had three chances. The second dart made it. I had to Venmo her $100. I was
no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that she made it.
It was Raven, right?
Yeah.
I will tell you this, though. When we went to Denny's, that was the only Denny's I've ever been to that has gluten-free pancakes. And they were good. We pigged out that night. Pigged out.
Oh. Ryan ate he ate like two meals. I watched him. It was crazy.
Ryan could eat whatever he wants and not gain a pound, and yet I sniffed his food and I gained weight, dude. What's going on here?
Hey, what's up? He's like 55 now. How come you don't gain weight?
You too, dude. What are you talking about? I saw all the sugar you ate.
Look at you. I got a worm. Yeah. You know, the joke is I got a worm in my stomach. It just eats everything. So who knows?
But oh, listen, when I get home, Sonny, when I get home, I eat like two meals a day. I'll have like a little bit of granola in the morning, and then have, you know, I get on target, you know, and I'm old. Yeah. I can't do that every day.
Not anymore.
Yeah, we're having fun. We're always having fun together.
All right. So, hey, check this out. The tour starts and you guys show up and you're with Crazy Tom Gillis. Everyone knows him. He's been on the radio show a few times. Pro Snowboarder, Psychopath, and Gospel Gangster. Yeah. You guys all showed up. I was back home with my wife for our anniversary, but what was that first day? What did it even look like?
I came in later, and then I met these guys at a taco shop, and I was very sketchy about eating at a taco shop in Houston, Texas. But actually, it was off the chart. But dude, like you said before, I have to like, you know, ditto everything you said, man. I love hanging around you guys, no matter what's going on in my regular life, or you know, even where I'm at with the Lord. You know, I go through seasons, but I know that when we get together, it's always an encouragement. I think I said that even when we spoke. You know, selfishly, I love hanging out with you guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I know that you guys love Jesus. I know that God is with us, and I soak it all in. You know, for when it's time to be in the real world. You know what I mean? And just go through all the battles. But when there's something about when we get together, it's just, it's very simple. And it's just like when Jesus says, go, I don't think we ever have a plan. We just trust God, no matter where we're at in our lives, that he's going to do something, he's going to show up. And every time when he does, it's just more confirmation. And it's just more exciting to know that he shows up no matter, you know, what's going on in our life.
Yeah,
so I love hanging out with you guys. You know that.
Yeah, I second that. Ryan, I appreciate you saying all that before. We're all just brothers. And I mean, I look at your platform, you got a big platform too. It's just like, we're all doing it together, but thanks for saying all that. But that first day was awesome. I got in. I like to just totally shift my schedule when we do stuff like that, because we have to do mornings. So I stayed up the whole night before I flew in, and I arrive at 8 a.m. I had like 5 a.m. flight. I arrive at 8 a.m. and Daniel picks me up. I go to his house. I sleep for 3 hours and then go to that taco shop. And so I got on the schedule so I can go to bed at midnight and wake up at 8 and go to our first, what was that, Sonny? Was it like a rehab? It was a few rehabs all coming together in one church, right?
Yeah. We were at Grace Church, I believe, but it was men and women's, not rehabs, but homes, like recovering homes, and then also halfway houses for men and women that are, you know, just fresh out of prison, that are kind of, you know, making their transition into real life. And so, dude, it was the way a church should be. It was filled with nothing but broken people. So when we showed up, we had no expectations. We were just, what's going on? The worship was on point. I heard one of my new favorite jams, and
which one?
And we just got a Champion. It's called Champion by Cody. No, that's a different cat. Dante something. It's awesome. But anyway,
he's awesome.
We just shared our stories, man. And then, dude, it's, again, like people just come up and they're going through real life problems, man. I mean, they're in it. You know, it's not, you hear of all these little things and people we know that we deal with all the time, that it's like, you know, they, whatever, it's just so small. And then you get with somebody who's like, dude, I'm fresh out of prison, you know, an addict, and my kids are facing charges, and my kids are homeless, and my kids are strung out. And it's like, these are real problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we're there, it's just like, it's that same thing. Like, oh, what do I say? Except, dude, yeah, you know, whatever God gives you to say, we love you, you know, and God's got a plan. And he's going to work it out. So,
but there's some powerful stories, man.
Oh, yeah.
That day, just a lot of people were just like, man. Because I remember I was talking about, I'm right now I'm fascinated with the, like, the death, going into baptism and raising back up to life and walking. Like, you know how that scripture says that God calls things that are not as if they are in the book of Romans? We're all like, right now, we're resurrected people right now. You know what I mean? Not like, you know, obviously we have to die, but our lives, like Ryan, you used to be a drug addict. You're a resurrected version of yourself with Christ walking your life. I'm a resurrected version. And so I was talking about that, and I was like pleading with these people, like, this is real. you are living a new life with Christ, a resurrected version of yourself. I go, please do not fake this as you're going through these programs. Don't come here and do this, like, you know, happy, clappy, whatever, just because you want to, like, please your program or whatever. This is a real connection with Jesus in your life. And I remember this girl came up to me and she was like, I got to confess to you that I was the one that's faking it. And she was, you know, she's just broken. She's like, I'm not going to fake it. I'm the one that you were talking to. And I was like, whoa. So that was
Head brought it that day. Because you, like you said, you were out. And then so we were sitting there. We're like, okay, who's going to go first? And who's going to, you know, like we always do, who's going to.
Yeah.
And normally we all, you know, Ryan always closed it because, you know, you've been doing this for, you know, you got it down. But you know how to bring it all together and tie it all in. And so I think even Tom was like, hey, dude, so who's going to Ryan this thing at the end? And then I started laughing and I was like, dude, Head's got it, dude. And then when Head got, so Tom went up, then I went up. And then when Head got up there, dude, I was like, who is this preacher, man, dude?
Yes, machine
dude,
gun preacher.
He brought, yes, machine gun style. He brought the fire, dude, and it was sick, dude.
Sometimes you got to freaking bring the TD Jakes, bro.
That's hilarious. I've never even seen him.
TD Jakes. Yeah. I've never seen him.
I heard we were calling him Pastor Head by the end of the night.
Yeah.
That's sick,
yeah, and
man.
Then he went. The theologian.
Dude, when I watch you guys and like Sonny, you can hear people sniffling all over the room when Sonny's talking. It's like he brings that love, the deep love. And then Ryan, you get in there and you just, how you close it and people respond and how you break down the gospel and the Holy Spirit. It just kind of fits, you know? It's God puts something on our heart and we each go share what that thing is and it's powerful and it's, I'll tell you what, it's a lot more powerful than back in the day. I feel like it's always been powerful, but I feel like it's more of a mature, you know, we're 10 years older. Over 10 years older and we're more mature and we're doing it. And it's just going to increase, I think. You know?
Dude, you're 100% right. I was actually just talking to Tommy Green from Sleeping Giant. He was over here and I was telling him about how, when we go out, this the way we've been actually setting it up. And it's cool because they want to hear, I go, Sonny has like the father's heart. Like he goes out, he breaks it down how he was jaded by religion and how a lot of the church people were against them at the beginning because they're all covered in tattoos and they're in the mainstream and all this stuff. But then how, you know, and, you know, he basically tells the story. So he kind of breaks the ground, opens people's hearts to everything. And then Head comes in and he starts talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll and your story, your radical story of how you found God. You know, through this success and this crazy story and then going through your process of losing everything. So people hear that. And then I don't need to go up and say the same sex, drugs, and rock and roll story again because pretty much it's the same thing with Head, but not as much success, right? So I just close it with the Holy Spirit and just hone it in on the repentance and the gospel to just hone it in. So it's this whole, like, transition of this whole story that hits everybody in whole in every aspect of their life. I think it's just amazing, you know?
Yeah. It never gets old, dude.
No. So, but you know, what's cool is, you know, I was thinking about today how, like, Jesus, I was thinking about you guys and Jesus, and you guys are out doing your thing with your music, music career. And you guys are out in these concert venues, you know, with a lot of the misfits, we'll just say. According to, like, church people, it's the misfits, right? The subcultures, the skaters, the snowboarders, the metalheads, you know, the hip-hop dudes, you know, all the different subcultures. But when you think about the Bible and how, as Sonny would say, American Christianity, you know, this morning it really hit me hard because I was thinking about how many things we do that are just old traditions. Jesus would tell these Pharisees, you know, they were mad at the disciples because they didn't wash their hands and they weren't doing these, you know, old traditions. And Jesus was not an institutionalist. And he used, like, these outcasts or these rebels. Like, he used the what are the guys that take care of the sheep?
The shepherds.
He uses these shepherds. They were like the lowest of the totem pole. They were doing the job that no one wanted to do, go out and hang out with dirty sheep all day long, you know. But we look at it like, oh, Jesus showed up to the shepherds, and it was just this magical, beautiful thing. No, he showed up to just this outcast, misfit. He showed up to these people in the cities, these people that were leopards. They were the outcasts, the blind, the deaf, the demon-possessed, the demoniac that was living in a grave. He was constantly going from town to town, city to city, and he was going out to all the outcast people. But here in American Christianity, we can become institutionalized and think ministry is all pretty and perfect and it needs to be done in a church and you got this amazing worship band and this amazing presentation. But really, what Jesus did, or like Luke would say, he had these filthy fishermen. And he went out and he was with the common people and he did reach out to the outcast a lot. And that's just, it just reminded me of this story of this rehab that you guys were at, is you were going to people with real problems. And I don't know, we don't know what life circumstances has created in their life that have brought them to this moment. Some are a lot of bad decisions, but then some, you know, you can lose your job and your wife could leave you and that could be in a mental state.
Life is hard.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was just thinking about that today. Go ahead, Sonny.
No, I was saying it's when you read scripture, it's, you know, Jesus, he was out with the broken. He was out with the notorious sinners. And, you know, if any time that he was out doing his thing, and whenever he went to the church or the temple, usually it was to put him in check. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And because a lot of times it's, you know, I think we get comfortable as Christians and our social club and our church, and which is fine too. You know what I mean? Like some people need a safe place, man. Like we need a safe place, but you know, and I realize that maybe not everybody, you know, that's just what it is. But there's, you know, for following the example of Jesus, he was with sick. He was with the broken that needed him, you know? And so, you know, he went and he charged it, you know, obviously in 3 years, he went and charged it. He was on a mission and he did it, you know? And I think for us, we just try to go out and love people, you know, as long as I've been a Christian, I just always feel like, you know, we always say this, I'm no spiritual giant. We're not like holier than anyone else. We're just men. But like when you have these seeds of love, you just want to throw them out into the world and then watch God do what he does, you know? But when we're together, it seems like we're more, you know, we're more on a mission. Like, dude, we got 1 week, 2 weeks, we're going to charge this and watch God do like something crazy. And it always, always happens. And we did that on this time. We went to that concert venue/saloon. Mm-hmm. We were at a bar on Saturday morning and people showed up and people got saved right in the middle of these places. And, you know, and churches they're afraid to go to these places, but it was different this time. You know, it felt like we were doing what we're supposed to do, you know, not perfect again, just forgiven.
I want to add two things. Then I'm going to let you guys continue with that thought. The church is important. We did church events. And when you look at Jesus is the model, and this is kind of what I want to get through to the show, because we're Jesus people. We do everything unorthodox. The Jesus ministry is messy. But when you look at Jesus, he did surface in the temples. He did teach the word. The temple or the church is important. Worship is important. Yeah. That is a safe zone. That is a hospital where we go to get fed. But also, it's the Great Commission and it's the balance. And that's what we're trying to say, that it's all important and you have to have the balance. And Jesus, like you were saying, Sonny, Jesus would send the disciples out in twos on a mission. Then he would bring them back and say, report to me. What's good? What happened out there? And this is what we're doing now. We're back and now we're reporting and we're testifying like what happened. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit on these trips. We have it in us. But it's almost like when we go on these trips, it's like when Jesus says, I give you all authority to go out, cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. Now go. They go, and it happens, and they come back, and they report. But yeah, the church is important, but it's also important to live this great commission. Let's talk about that bar, what was it, the saloon? we went to a real bar.
Wildcatter Saloon.
What happened, Head?
Was it?
It was called Wildcatter Saloon.
Yeah.
In Katy, Texas.
Well, I love that. I love what you just said about, you know, church is important. It's like our life, our soul is a car, you know, follow me. We take our car to the gas station. We get filled up once a week or whatever.
Yep.
And then we take that car and we go out and we go and drive and go meet up with people. And that's what we did at the Wildcat Saloon. We, you know, we've been getting filled up. And now we go out and pour out what we've been, what's been imparted into us. And it was awesome to show up at that bar. I didn't know what to expect. None of us did.
None of us. But
we were filled up and ready to go. And we walk in and, you know, I've done events in the past where they're like, oh, we're doing an outreach and this is going to be so edgy. It's going to be like, you know, it's going to, it's not going to be churchy. And I show up and there's like 50 corn fans with corn shirts. And there's some worship band on that are playing like songs from 94. And I'm like, this is edgy. And this is, you know, this ain't going to work. And half of the people or about three quarters of the people leave, you know?
Yeah.
And so I love the bar thing because we get up there and there's that just gritty freaking, like blues type of musician. What was his name? You guys remember?
I don't remember. He was I can't remember.
Country, but he was kind of country rock.
Yeah, it was. He was playing it though, just a guitar and a big old beard, and just freaking playing some awesome music. Yeah. And this bar was an outside bar and outdoor bar, and there was just lights everywhere. It was huge, and I'm like, okay, there's going to be, you know, it's a weeknight. There's going to be, you know, 30, 50 people. How many people showed up? 100, 200? It was
packed. There was a few hundred. It was packed.
Yeah, there was hundreds. Yeah.
And they just, and like, we didn't have no agenda, you know? We walk up and we just start talking and telling our stories. And everyone was so respectful. They were ordering drinks. No one was mocking. No one was, like, interrupting. You know, it was really, like, different than I thought it was going to be.
It's like what you said, you know, 50 fans come in with corn shirts, like you feel like you're trapping them. You know what I mean? Like, and still it doesn't, they still don't go. They'll come and like, oh, I want to go see Head. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, is this a church? And then they walk in. There's not an ease, or they feel like, oh dude, I've been here before. Don't want to be here. Some will walk away. Some will brave the waters. And then they're still like, you know, like, I don't, this really isn't my thing. So by going to that spot, you know, we said it before. It's like, dude, this stuff doesn't shock me. You know what I mean? It might shock a lot of these churches or Christians, but for these guys at the bar, like, I remember telling them, dude, I don't care. Do what you're going to, like, we're just here to meet you where you're at and tell you that Jesus and God loves you. He changed your life. Dude, you're going to learn that as you go, but we come here just because, again, not perfect, but right here saying, dude, it's about salvation. It's about, we believe so much that Jesus can change your life. So we're not going there to tell people what to do. It's like, bro, we're just trying to give, let you know that God loves you. And if you allow him to come into your heart right now, dude, it's, things are going to happen. You know, it's not this magical thing, but dude, we love you right where you're at. To me, there's no, not this condemnation thing. You know, we know that Jesus didn't come to this world to condemn, but to save it. So we're, same thing. I think people, they can respect that. And when you gave the altar call, there was, you know, I found out later there was a band that went there just to see, there was a band there. That whole band was standing there giving their life to the Lord. You know, there was people all over them. Like, it was, the turnout was amazing.
I know.
When you look at the pictures now and you see all the people that came front to give their life to Jesus, it was like, it was so humbling, dude. It was like, this is crazy. You know, it was just, it was, I think it's, something's going to happen, dude.
Dude, hey, I want to talk a little bit of the backstory about this, because this was seriously crazy. Because when we all showed up, we all went to the, like, the side room or back room, wherever the food was. And I remember we were all nervous and we were all, hey, what are we going to do here? What are we? Because we're in a bar. Like, how's this going to go down? Who's going to speak? What are we going to say? Because I know I was a little nervous. I know Head was a little bit nervous because we were trying to figure out. Because it was a new environment. I mean, this is a bar, which Daniel, he went to the bar owner and goes, hey, we want to have the Hoosiers come out and talk. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he's like, but they're going to talk about Jesus. And he's like, oh, I don't care. And then he goes, wait a minute. And Daniel's like, what? And he goes, He's all, but we serve alcohol. And Daniel goes, we don't care. We don't care. And he's like, all right, no problem. Go ahead. They can talk about Jesus. So that's the whole, this is the whole backstory. And then we get there and we're like, oh shoot, this is like a little legit bar setting. Like there's a bunch of like bar people. This is not a church event at all. Yeah. So then that's when we went up, everyone told their stories. And what's crazy is, I read that story. I started off at the talking about Mark when it says that Jesus hung out with the sinners, and there was many sinners amongst Jesus's followers. That story of Levi inviting them to this house. So I started with that to let them know. Guess what? If Jesus was here in the flesh, he hung out. There was many notorious sinners around him. And then I talked about I even broke down what repenting was. And I remember Zach, he's like, dude, that's crazy. You were just talking about repenting and the gospel in a bar. Like, I'm like, our message doesn't change. It's how you deliver it. Like, you're sinners. Yeah. We're sinners. God loves you. He wants to transform you. Look at Head's story. Look at Sonny's story. Look at my story. We're walking testimonies. We were there. We are changed. But we're all, God loves us all. And that's why we saw hundreds of people come forward and give their life to Christ. Like it's, and that's the thing that we have to as the church, the people of God, is that it's about grace and truth. The truth is the raw gospel, repentance, forgiveness, get filled with the Spirit. But also there has to be grace. Like, hey man, we don't know what people are going through, but we got to walk with it. It's this messy ministry. That's why with you, Head, Truman McCorn, you're outside in the center after the event. I've been with you and you call people to come here and you give them the gospel and you lead them to the Lord. And Sonny, you're praying with people, talking to people for hours in front of your guys's RV or bus or whatever. It's, you don't know where people are at. And when you hear people's stories, people are going through crazy stuff.
It's just honesty and vulnerability and being real. You know, it's funny because you say you guys were nervous. I remember Daniel, same thing. I was like, dude, I'm not nervous at all. I get more nervous when we go speak at churches. Like to me, this is my atmosphere. Like I'm used to playing, shows and stuff. And I know, with POD, it's not as straightforward as, we are. We're like, we go for it.
Yeah.
But for me, being in front of the world, whether it's Ozfest or whatever, it's I've never been ashamed to say, hey, God loves you. Or, I'm a believer. For me, this is easy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's more natural for me. Whenever I get to the church, I feel like I've always, my story. Where I always feel like, oh dude, I gotta convince them that I love the Lord, and that it's real. But when we're at Ozfest or whatever, it's easy just to be who you are. That's why I love playing music and jumping around and dancing, because I feel like I'm doing it unto the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's just easier for me to say, hey, God loves you, man.
Dude, it's like a wounded dog, when he comes around the person that hits him.
Right?
He lifts his hand, the dog like that. You go to church like that. It's sad because you got so many wounds from your own people. Yeah. And I do too, but you've had it for, I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, that's Lord's grace and his mercy on you. Flows through you to give those people grace and mercy. So,
absolutely, absolutely. All right. It was funny because we're gonna go to the break in about 1 minute, but we went to this other bar. I see. When I think about bars, I just think about people getting drunk and getting crazy and Jesus. You don't talk about Jesus or politics. Like Sonny said, he's all, I know the one thing at another bar we went to on that tour, Sonny opens up and says, I know you're not supposed to talk about Jesus or politics. So, we broke, we broke that one talking about Jesus in this bar, also a great response.
And then
We're gonna come back. We're gonna come back. I know. I walked up. I said, "Let's go, Brandon." That's how I opened up. So I said, "We broke both rules in this bar." But we'll come back. Yeah. We're gonna be back in 20 seconds. Guys, go to whosoevers.com. Book us. We're touring, and we want to come to your city. We want to come to your state, and we want to go to your concert venues, bars, rehabs, churches, schools. Anywhere there's people that are open to hear gospel or not open, We'll talk to you guys in 2 minutes after the break. Peace.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
Oh, shoot. I got a coffee delivered up in here. Old Kill the Noise. Yes. Peep game.
So, what?
Yeah, man. I got a little coffee service here. No. Hey, we were just talking about being at that second bar. We went to another bar in Texas, and this was Saturday afternoon in a bar?
Dude, we were just talking about, that's right. Hey, that's why you asked that question during the break, because you had to leave. So Head wasn't there that day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we walked sick in this bar, and it was like a Saturday afternoon, and these stories, you know, they're all kind of mixed and matched as far as the way the tour went. But it was like a Saturday afternoon. We walk in, and it's packed. All kinds of Korn fans. You got POD fans. It's like a legit bar. Again, atmosphere on a Saturday afternoon, packed. Something happened with the music. It didn't show up. Something happened with the guy.
Yeah.
So then Daniel's all nervous. What are we going to do? I'm like, dude, let's just get up and let's just start telling our stories. So Sonny gets up and says, I know there's two things we don't talk about. Jesus and politics and bars, but Sonny broke that rule and told him all about Jesus. And then I go up, like I said, right before the break, and I said, well, let's break both rules. Let's go, Brandon. And then I continue to tell my story. And we heard, actually, dude, a lot of people got saved in that bar as well. On a Saturday afternoon, 12 o'clock, people getting saved doing altar calls in bars. Just amazing.
Yeah.
But who was that girl you were talking to in front, Sonny? There was a lady that you and Tom and I were talking to. It was more you two kind of pouring into her.
Well, the girl that we outside the bar before we went in, that lady, she was going through some crazy stuff. We all prayed for her. I thought you were talking about the Korn fan. She was going through some crazy stuff. So we got a chance, you know, just again,
the
like
Korn fan. What was she saying?
Oh, she was, I guess her husband was killed some years back. And then a huge Korn fan. She had Freak on a Leash tatted across her, like, you know, neck and chest. And her husband had died some years back. And then I think she met you, Head. I sent you the video. I took a video of her saying thank you. And she was super nervous. But basically, she was just saying, you know, I think she told you her story years ago at a show. And You whatever you said, this is how God works. You said you didn't even remember, but you speak life into these people, and whatever you said to her just kept her on that path. And the only thing is, she was still a little bitter just because, you know, they hadn't caught the killers and all this stuff. So as she's saying all this stuff, then I went on to just say, you know, she was talking about justice and justice, and when she prays, and I said, if I can just encourage you, I go, when you pray, Mom, don't stop praying. I said, but if I can encourage you as a brother, just change justice to mercy, because you're never going to get rest, because all you're talking about is this guy, you know, because it's still eating you alive. Yeah. You know, she said she's a believer, also, but it's still eating her alive. She's got a young child. And if that's your focus is just catching the killer, it's like, you're never going to be at rest. And so she was crying, and her friend had some other stories. So it was just, again, bro, broken people that we were just able to just to love on, man.
Man, if she could find the strength to be like,
yeah,
Lord, let him get captured, so to bring justice so I can forgive him, and then your mercy could flow in his life. You know what I mean? Then
we all want to be those, hey, we all want to be those people. I want to be that person. You know what I mean? Always.
Well, that's what's crazy is like, the whole message of Jesus, the cross, is forgiveness. That's the root of like the problems. You know, if we can't forgive, that could be family members, that could be business deals, that can be just murders, whatever it is, and all that stuff can just eat us up from inside and literally dominate and destroy our whole life. Is that whole forgiveness? It's all about grace and mercy, but it's so hard to forgive people sometimes. You know,
and I want to like. I don't want to speak lightly about like what she went through. Yeah. And Sonny, after like I text you, I totally remember her now.
Mm.
And shout out to her if she's watching. But
yeah.
I mean, that is heavy, and that takes strength to forgive, something like that. So
something like that, yeah.
Hopefully she just, you know, keeps asking God for that strength, because in our natural, you know, human makeup, we can't forgive like that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Only Jesus through us can.
Yep. It's yeah. True. It has to be a supernatural work. There's no way.
That's a big one. You know what I mean?
That's huge.
Well, yeah, but there was many other stories there that day. It's endless, bro. We need more time to talk about all the cool stories.
We went to I'll bring up the we went to churches too, but the cool stories are the ones out of the church. So we're gonna focus on these. About the juvenile detention center, Head? What'd you think about that?
So see, those are
heavy.
Those are the ones where I get the most nervous and tongue-tied, and I don't know. It's just, I think I've been to a few prisons, you know, in my 17 years with the Lord, and, you know, one of them was really awesome. And, I mean, I saw, some Nazi skinhead dudes with, like, Hitler tattooed on their eyebrows crying and stuff like that. Yeah. So I've seen it, but I get nervous in those spots. And yeah. Just seeing with all the masks, we had to wear the mask, and the inmates were with the masks. And what I was blown away with was when, Ryan, you got up and you started sharing about the Holy Spirit, and Ryan's like, Ed, you've had a lot of practice, but you just looked at these hard-hearted girls and you were like, you guys believe, ever think about if God is real? Do you ever wonder if he's real? And he goes, Brian, you go, all right, I'm going to pray for you right now, and God's going to show you he's real. And if he doesn't, then everything I'm saying is a lie and you can just throw it away. I'm like, dang.
I'm like, there goes Ryan with his childlike face.
Yeah. But I've got some friends that do that stuff. And you know, I've tried once, you know, a couple times. It didn't turn out too good. But dude, he prayed, and two of the girls said they felt God's peace. And one of them was like, I didn't feel nothing. Remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
She was like,
he prayed again.
Dude, she didn't care to say, you know, she's like, I didn't feel nothing. And he goes, we're going to pray again. Holy Spirit, do you know, Jesus, you said you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit. Da, da. And right after that, she just changed. She was like, I felt that. And that was mind blowing for me.
So
yeah, that was,
I like to put Jesus's name on the line, like with him, like, okay, God. Like, you gave us this Bible. This is your voice. It's inerrant. It's all true. So what we see, you said you'll do greater things. And you says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Or John 7, you will receive the living water and be a fresh bubbling spring from your belly, you know, in John 7, 37. So I just hold him to his word, to his scriptures, and said, God, I'm going to step out by faith. And your name's on the line. So if you don't do it,
yeah,
then you're the one that looks dumb and looks fake.
Yeah.
I don't, because I'm saying you said it, so you do it. Because you said we can do it. And then just an act of faith and stepping out. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always that little bit. I'm like, God, you better do it. But I'm like,
yeah, but you're good at that, man. I think that's what Head is saying. I think even while you were praying, he looks at me and he's just, Head was still tripping, because we're always impressed.
Oh.
We're always impressed by your, like, how you have that to be able to do that. You know what I mean? I'm too busy in my mind. Like, what if God doesn't show up and he doesn't do anything? And then this all looks stupid, you know, and Brian's like, I'm going to show you this. But that's why we work so good together. You know what I mean? Like you said, we break it down and we get in there, but you always have that, like, yeah, I'm going to watch God work. And that was heavy, because we thought there was going to be a bunch of girls in there, and the girls were worse off than the guys. When you hear their stories, like their stories were heavy. And so when you saw, when we walked and you felt like they were just hard, they were cold.
Hard.
And there was only three girls in front of us, and the rest were cells. And we couldn't see them.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even see them, but they were in there. So remember, the lady told us, just talk loud because the girls could hear you. So it was like, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then when you hear their stories of, you know, their victims and what they do and
traffic,
it was sad. But, you know, when we all went in there as daddies and just saying, man, we love you guys. And this is not what God has for you. This is not, and this is not the, your story. This is definitely not the end of your story. And so, yeah, they all wanted to be prayed over and it was crazy.
That's awesome. Cause I totally forgot about that these girls were all there because they were trafficked. Human trafficking.
A lot of them were.
Most of them were trafficked. So that's also a very hard crowd in the amount of abuse.
Underage,
yeah, under 18, right, trafficked. Yeah, that was definitely, that cell or that unit was
heavy.
Definitely hard hearts. But then God showed up and they were all smiling after as well.
Yeah, after they were smiling. But how do you tell? Remember I asked the warden lady, I said, you know, when she said these girls are trapping, I was like, okay, well, I know this is a youth detention center. Like, so are you saying the 17-year-old girls? Like, she's like, no, the 12 and 13-year-olds. So when we went in there, like, how do you tell them about love?
Yeah.
How do you tell them about relationship with Jesus? Like, they don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Everything they know about love and relationship is twisted and perverted and jacked up.
Yeah.
And so again, when we go in there and saying God loves you, it's like, they don't know what that is. So again, it's proof that God is real. When we pray that the Holy Spirit, you know, falls upon them, and it's like, when they change and when they smile, to me, that's confirmation enough that, like, dude, God, he touched their life, because the fact that they smiled at us and even thanked us for coming, or they kind of wave, it's like, because in the beginning, they're cold, bro. It's sad.
And, you know,
then the guy going into the guy section of the juvenile detention center was awesome. There was, what was there, a couple dozen there? They're all just, you know, staring at us, listening, and everyone's got masks on, and we did the thing, and Ryan gets up and gives the gospel message, and almost every hand went up, I think. It was like...
Everyone did. That's what Tom told me. I never look. I'm just like, my eyes are down. Everyone. Yeah. Crazy, man.
I pray with my eyes open ever since Mexico, that demon-possessed kid I ran into. So now I'm always with my eyes open praying, watching, because you never know what's going to crack off.
See, my head is all, if you notice, my head is always down. I'm like, please, Lord, come on, Lord, come on, do something. God, you can do this. You got to do this. Huh?
Yeah.
Begging. Come on, Lord.
That's where in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, he says, Pastor Ryan, what chapter is that where he says, come boldly to the throne of grace?
I don't know the chapter, but he says you can come boldly to the throne of grace where Jesus is interceding for us.
So, yeah, I believe I'm going to do that more, actually. You inspired me, Ryan.
Yep.
Because it's God, like, look, they're going to think you're fake if you don't come through. I'm doing my part. You do your part.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants that boldness. And if we're going, please, God, please, you got to show up. I don't think that's it. That sounds like it's fear. And I do that too. Mm. That sounds like fear and not faith, right?
Yeah.
Hey, stop preaching at me, dude.
No, I do it.
No, I know. I know exactly what you mean, dude.
But
yeah, I know.
Because I was doing it with you, but I just had that revelation right now that he doesn't want fear prayers. He wants faith prayers. And that's what Ryan's doing. That's why he's getting results. Because what does it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that's not seen. And then he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like learning something right now as I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's why I like hanging out with you guys, man.
Exactly. We all encourage each other in many other, we all rub off on each other in different ways. And that's what the whole discipleship thing is being together like brothers, going out and doing it and just having conversations. And the other thing about faith, what I was thinking about when you were talking about, it's either we believe that Jesus has given us the power and authority as he did with the disciples in the scriptures when he sent them out on his mission, which we were talking about earlier. Like when you go out on a ministry trip and like when we're going out on a mission, like you say, Sonny, like we're out there on a mission. Well, if we're out on a mission and God aligned it all for us to go, he provided, he got us there. Guess what? He has sent us out. So he's not going to send us out. He's not going to send us out without the power. He's going to give us the power and get the gifts operating for this time. And he does it every single day. Like when we're around, he does it in normal life. But what I'm saying is like, especially what I've seen is when you're out on mission, he's like, he's sending you and you could count on it happening, but you just got to step out in by faith. And I think the hardest thing to overcome, and this is just for even like the listening audience, is that it is scary and it sucks looking like a fool if it doesn't happen. You're like, oh man, I feel like a loser. Yeah. Like what's wrong with me? Or all the insecurities will come forward and the enemy could even mess with your mind too. But you know what? Who cares? I was talking to my friend Jesser. He's our Mexican ambassador down in Mexico. He does all the he's been sending it through all the skate parks and the juvies and the high schools. He hasn't stopped since we left. But I was talking to him the other day, and he's like, Ryan, after tour, you know, I was going around, I was praying for people. People weren't getting healed. Things weren't happening. And I said, that's all right. Just keep doing it. Don't stop. And then it's going to start happening again. And we go through seasons. Like I come home, sometimes I lay hands on people and things don't happen. But I just continue. I prayed for a girl the other day in Twin Falls, Idaho. She has this crazy condition where she could barely walk. She has like a wheelchair or like her legs don't move right. Her arm, her body doesn't work. And I'm like, God, I've seen healings, but I've never seen a miracle. And I'm like, I stepped out and I prayed for her and her sister. Nothing happened. And I'm like, man, these poor girls, they probably have every Christian, Jesus' name, be healed, get up and walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be another guy that's going to do this. And they're going to be like, oh, I wasn't healed again. But I was like, God, I want to see a miracle. I want to see you heal these girls. Cause she's got divorced and she was going through all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, God, like her life is hell right now. Just heal her and allow her to be perfectly walking again. Like, just do that in the physical and like, let's work out all this stuff later. But I stepped out and made faith and guess what? She didn't get healed on the spot. I don't know if it's going to be like where Jesus prayed for the deaf guy to talk or the blind guy to see. And he says, it looks like trees walking and he laid his hands on him again. And then he was healed. Or if he prayed for the guy with leprosy and it says they were healed on their way. I don't know if she got healed on her way, but I stepped out by faith. Nothing happened, but I'm going to keep stepping out by faith.
Yeah, that's right, dude.
You know,
no, that's right. I think Head said it best. Dude. Like even for me, it's such a jadedness. And then you said it, Ryan. That's the thing where it's like I'm so there's been so many fakes and phonies. You know what I mean? That like for their own personal gain and all this stuff. And my bitterness towards that stuff is you know, what keeps me in this state of like, just whatever. It's not lacking of faith, but I know when we've gone out and we've been able to witness these things, it's just an encourager to me. Like, dude, this is crazy. Like this is, but I'm more always worried about what they're going to think. You know, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like I'm always worried that the same thing, like, oh, dude, they've been hurt by the church. They're so jaded by religion or, you know, the things they see on TV about these evangelists that just want your money and they, you know, buy the healing water. They're so jaded by it. And so that's why I'm just like, come on, Lord, you got to do something, man, because if not, you know, they're going to walk away and nothing. But when God does it, it's just, again, more encouragement to me. Like, oh, that was crazy. And then we always talk about it afterwards. That's crazy.
Three things.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
I know God is a healer and he heals like a lot of people. But there's also, I've seen him show me that there's also some people that he likes to show the strength of their faith and character while they have, and he doesn't heal them. Mm-hmm. While they have their disability or ailment or whatever, they're like inspiring people and you know, getting up and talking about who they are as a person, whether God heals them or not.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's like a miracle to me to see. I know a lot of people that are like, you know, I've seen disabled people that are just like, you know, people with no legs even, you know,
getting up there. The Australian guy that has no legs, Nick something.
Hey, it doesn't have to be the physical though, bro. That is, for me, it's more about your soul.
Yeah,
I would rather have your soul right, you know, and walk out there not being able to walk than all of a sudden, oh, dude, I feel better. My everything's gone. Like now, I'm gonna go off and continue to do what I'm doing, and then go to hell.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's just about you getting your soul right. So it's not always have to be a physical thing.
Yeah. Well, it's
It's about different callings. That's what it's about.
Some
people, like, they need to hear from God themselves. And Ryan, you're called to physical healing in your ministry. And so you're going to see it a lot more than us probably because you're called to it. He's gifted you with it.
Yeah.
I like it's also, you know, the other thing too that is cool when you pray for people is like when you read in the book of Acts, you know, they're like, oh, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, what's the Holy Spirit? We've been water baptized. And then it says that they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer of like, God, like fill them with your Holy Spirit. You know, that's the other thing is because, you know, we've talked about this, Sonny, is the reason why I want to see God work powerfully is because we live in a generation where people are so numb and dead just to life circumstances and pornography and Billie Eilish. She was just saying her mind is destroyed from the sadomasochism pornography. If you saw the interview, people are so demented and so jacked up that I'm like, God, you need to just like film like after they repent. Remember, it's all about repentance and salvation. Yeah. After they repent and they give their life to God, just fill them with your Holy Spirit. Just like at least let them encounter you.
Yeah,
as a down payment, as the scripture says, like, okay, you're real. Okay, so at least they just know, okay, God's real. This thing's real. I might be jacked up. I got to get a Bible. He's real. Now I'm going to go after him. You know, and we know that when it comes to any kind of physical healing, signs and wonders always point back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that the Word of God is real. So we don't want to lead someone. We don't want to pray for someone to get physically healed and then they go away and they're a healed sinner going to hell. It's about healing should lead to salvation and salvation should lead to repentance, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole mission of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And, but that's just what that's the most important thing is that we are pointing people to Jesus and we're praying that the gifts will manifest to lead people to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And the most important thing is that repentance, you know, that is the most important thing. We have 3 minutes left. I think this interview was epic because this was just a cool conversation that I think people are going to get a lot of cool nuggets from just from what you guys have been saying. Hebrews 4:16 is, we could come boldly through the throne of grace. That's that verse that you were talking about. I Googled it.
And then to ask for grace to help in our time of need, right?
Yes. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that to help us minister God's Spirit being real when people think he's fake. That's how I take it. And through healing, through salvation, through whatever.
Yeah.
And
speaking of healing, and so I just want to give a special shout out to Dominic and his family because my buddy Dominic had a stroke. He's in a wheelchair. He went out to the whole, all the whosoever stuff, and we prayed for him, you know, multiple times. The same thing. I think God is doing a healing, you know, in his heart and his soul. Yeah. And, you know, another cool story, just real quick, when we were at that church, he hadn't moved his foot yet since the stroke. The whole time we were being interviewed and talking, his foot was doing this, and he didn't even realize it. And he was doing this, and then his wife saw, and his wife was like, and she told us afterwards, she's like, dude, something's going on. So they're believing. And again, it's not an instant healing, but it's a healing of their family, their faith, all these things. And so we love you, Dominic, and we're still believing that you're going to walk someday.
I think
we love you, Dominic.
I think he told you or told me or something there at that church. He says, if I would have got healed, I wouldn't be here searching after God.
Yeah.
Like he needs it's and again, it's what we were saying. It's all about a relationship. It's the heart relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it's not about the physical. It's about our heart because we're eternal beings and it's all about eternity. So
yeah,
we'll do
Ryan,
it. I love you guys, man.
This is perfect timing because remember when I left and I texted you guys and I said, dude, a storm came and blew some stuff off my roof. And they just showed up to fix my roof. So
thank you, Jesus. I love you guys. Hey, for all of you guys that are listening and watching, all you have to do is flip a U-turn. That's what repent means. Change the direction in which you were going and go to God. Ask him. Go boldly through the throne of grace so you could be forgiven, washed with the blood that was shed on the cross, and your life would be transformed. Get a Bible, read it, go to a church that teaches the Bible, and be transformed and live your life. You are a masterpiece, and live the life that God created you for. Thank you all. I love you guys. Head, Sonny, Sonny, Head, Tom Gillis, wherever you're at, we love you. Peace.
Yes.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
What happens when a writer and former history teacher goes toe-to-toe with his best friend, a nationally touring stand-up comedian? Total carnage, that's what. Two men enter, and two men leave, because that's how it works.
Actually, you get hilarious, real, and insightful conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
Join me, comedian Johnny W., and my pal, author and speaker John Driver, for Talk About That at lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.